chapter, verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not labored or run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in that same epistle, chapter 3, and verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest for the day. That's a little different, isn't it? The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not of what size, but of what sort. Now I want you to turn back to the Old Testament, please. Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Let's try Amos chapter 5 for just two or three verses. Amos chapter 5. And I think we'll read verse 1. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. Now it's Israel that's here in view, isn't it? Verse 18. Woe unto you that desire, and here's another expression, the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Now, the next little book is Obadiah, and let's notice a verse there, please. Obadiah, and we'll just notice verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, or upon all the nations. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Now we trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We might have read quite a number of scriptures, beloved, with these different terms. The day of the Lord, the day of Christ, the day of our Lord Jesus, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, or that day. These different expressions, and we want to consider them a little tonight, and I trust it will be helpful for us and help us to understand what is involved. Near the close of the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus, he gave two great important discourses. We call the one the Olivet Discourse. That was his discourse from the Mount of Olives. And we find that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and 25. The other we call his upper room ministry. And of course we have that in John's Gospel, chapter 14 through 16. Now in both of these discourses, our Lord Jesus is speaking of his coming. But beloved, it is a mistake that is being made by some in seeing that, in trying to see that in both he's speaking of the same coming or the same events. On the Mount of Olives, the Lord was speaking to his few disciples in a public discourse. I believe there they were representative of the nation of Israel in a coming day. And at that time, beloved, he was speaking about his return to earth, his coming back to earth in power and in glory. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. The church isn't mentioned in Matthew 24, 25, beloved. And it is a mistake to put the church into that chapter when the Lord Jesus doesn't put it there. But then when we come to John's Gospel, there we have the Lord Jesus speaking to the very same men, but he's speaking to them privately. I believe soon they were to be the nucleus of that new thing that was to come into being. That is his church. And as he speaks to them, he speaks about his coming for them. He speaks about his coming to take them to be with himself where he is. And, beloved, these are two different events completely. Now, I suggest that the very same difference can be noted as we consider the scriptures that speak of the day of the Lord on the one hand, and then these other days, the day of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, that day, the day of those expressions, I believe all have reference to the coming of the Lord for his church. Again, as we think of them, beloved, the day of Jesus Christ, I think that's the one I omitted, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, or that day, these are references to days or events that take place in connection with his program before the church. And I believe if we fail to distinguish between the scriptures that speak of Israel as an earthly people and the church as a heavenly people, we're going to be confused indeed. Now, is this an important subject? Oh, indeed it is, beloved. It's an important subject for every person in this meeting or on this island tonight. Because we're either going to enjoy the blessings that are associated with the day of Jesus Christ or the day of the Lord Jesus Christ or that day, or we're going to endure the awful judgments that are associated with the day of the Lord. Now, if there should be someone in our company tonight and you're not saved, friend, you should take the Word of God. You should sit down carefully and quietly in the presence of the Lord and begin to read in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on, and read the solemn description there of the terrible, terrible events that are going to take place in the day of the Lord as the Lord begins to deal with not only Israel. As, mind you, the other evening we were pointing out that the Great Tribulation is spoken of as the time of Jacob's trouble. And yet, as we were just noticing in the prophet Obadiah points out that God is going to deal with the nations, beloved. Not only Israel the focal point, surely, but the nations as well are all going to feel the heavy hand of God in judgment because they have rejected his beloved Son, because they've spurned his grace and his offer of mercy and pardon. Oh, my beloved friend, if there should be one in our company and you're not saved, read what God's Word says about those dreadful days that will follow the coming of the Savior and the church being caught home to heaven. And you might well tremble in your shoes because that will be your portion unless, my friend, you speedily get to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior. Now, when we think of these 2 days, of course, one is related to Israel. The other is related to the church, the day of the Lord. And primary focus is Israel and then the Gentile nations. And the day of Jesus Christ relates to the church, the bride of Christ, and God's program for the church. Now, Israel was a very special people. And as a special people, of course, they had robe priests, they had literal sacrifices, and they had a ritual that God Himself prescribed for them to carry out. And, beloved, that was all preparing or pointing forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, they were to look for the coming of the Messiah to fulfill a threefold promise, if you will. It says, Moses the prophet is going to be like me. It says, Melchizedek the priest, the king priest, he's going to be like me. Said David the king, he's going to be like me. And they were looking forward, beloved, to the coming of this one who would be like Moses, like Melchizedek, like David, who would in himself be the prophet, the priest, and the king. But unfortunately, that nation, accepting the scriptures that spoke of his glory, of his reign, they largely missed the thought of his obscurity, of his rejection, and of that great atoning work that he would accomplish by his death at the place called Calvary. Now, it was absolutely essential that he come. He had to come, beloved, to fulfill the prophecies that spoke about his coming, and he must fulfill every one of them. Not only those prophecies that spoke of his coming to suffer, but again those prophecies that speak of his coming in glory to reign, every one of them must be fulfilled. And mind you, listen, friend, have no question they will all be fulfilled. Oh, just as he fulfilled completely and exactly every promise that was given in connection with his first coming to suffer, so he will exactly fulfill every promise that has been given in connection with his coming to reign. Now, it was essential not only that he come to fulfill the scriptures that speak of his glory, it was essential as well that he come to fulfill the law. You remember that verse over, well, turn to it, Matthew chapter 5, and let me read a verse there to you. Matthew 5, and just notice, if you will, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, the Lord Jesus fulfilled the law by his perfect life of obedience. But more than that, beloved, he fulfilled it for us, if you will, by meeting its claims against us. When as our substitute, our surety, he hung upon the cross of shame at Calvary and suffered, bled, and died. Now, Israel didn't have any idea about the long interval that would intervene between, of course, not seeing his coming in to suffer. They didn't know anything about his coming or about the interval, or about the mystery that, of course, is revealed to us in the New Testament scriptures, that is, the mystery concerning the church, the body, the bride of Christ. Now, as we look back over our Bible, beloved, we realize that sin didn't take God by surprise. No, God knew exactly what was going to happen. And God had a plan. God raised up Adam, knew that the first man would fail. But God had in view bringing in his beloved Son, the man who would not fail, the man who would accomplish his will, and the man who, the God-man, let me speak oh most reverently, most carefully of that blessed, glorious person, the man who will take up the reins of rule, of authority, of government that Adam forfeited by his sin, by his rebellion. And then again, I believe, beloved, in providing a helpmeet from the open side of Adam, Eve, the bride of Adam. God had in view, beloved, that down in this age, during this present interval between the coming of the Savior to suffer and his coming to reign, God would take out of the world, as a result of the open sight of the Savior, the bride of the Lamb, the church. Now, what was the hope of Israel then? Well, the hope of Israel was the coming and the kingdom and the glorious reign of the Savior. Now, when we think of the church's hope, beloved, it is his coming. He's coming again. Oh, beloved, he'll not be satisfied until he has his blood-bought bride all home in his presence. You know, there are dear saints suffering. Dear saints are leaving us, and we miss them. But oh, how wonderful to think for them, absent from this scene, but with the Savior, in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Didn't the apostles say far better? Oh, how wonderful that really must be. Now, as we think then of Israel, they had to trace their genealogy way back to Abram. Now, when we think of the church, beloved, it's a contrast completely, because the church is not of Abram's seed, although, thank God, they're included. But it is of all nations, and it is a spiritual family relationship, if you will, or, as we were noticing with the Bible class, a spiritual priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices, not as Israel of old, offering literal sacrifices in a literal temple as they did. Now, I believe we will be confused about the events of the day of the Lord unless we see that here are two programs going on, I believe, at the same time. One will commence, if you will, with the rapture of the church and then events in heaven. The other will commence after the rapture of the church, but it will be events on earth. And it will be events, beloved, of judgment. Now, as we think of the events that will take place in connection with the day of Christ or of Jesus Christ, what are they? Well, let me just quickly point out some and then the contrast. Of course, there's the rapture of the church. And let me say again, beloved, the rapture of the church is just the opening, if you will, of that program of events that will take place in heaven and will go on until that moment when the church as the bride will come with her heavenly bridegroom, Revelation chapter 19, Matthew chapter 25. I believe the marriage supper will be here on earth. Mind you, sometimes I may say things that you disagree with, and you may be right. I'm not insisting that I've got everything straight, you know. I know I'm not infallible, so if you disagree with me, just don't be disagreeable, but we'll be all right. But listen, I think the church is coming back there. And when the church comes back to earth, then I believe the day of Christ will merge into the day of the Lord until eventually they enter the day of God. What does the rapture mean? Oh, we're going to be taken up. We're going to be snatched from the sheath, taken by force. Oh, the Lord wants us home. And when that moment comes, beloved, we're going to be caught up. There's going to be resurrection. There's going to be transformation. There's going to be reunion. There's going to be reception to His presence. We're going to be with Him. But then there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, you know, that's a solemn scene. In the will of the Lord, I want to touch on that, a little bit on the judgments that are before us before we finish this little study. And I'd like also to take up a little study on some of the pathways we may walk to have the Lord's approval and commendation at the judgment seat of Christ. There will be the judgment seat of Christ, and there will be rewards, and then the marriage and the marriage supper. Now, while all that's happening in heaven, oh, beloved, there's going to be that great time of tribulation, Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. At the end of that, the Lord will return to earth in glory. And then, of course, there will be the judgment of the nations. Matthew 25. There will be His millennial reign with Satan bound. There will be the loosing of that enemy and the final rebellion, the great white throne judgment, and then eternity. Now, having said that, the day of Christ, beloved, that begins at the rapture chiefly interests us. Why? Well, because I believe most of us here are believers and we're going to have part in these great events. Now, we're going to be involved not only in the rapture, the going up, but we're going to be involved in the revelation. Now, at the rapture, beloved, we're going to go up. Perhaps tonight. At the revelation, this will take place, I believe, at the close of the tribulation. This will be after the judgment seat of Christ, the giving of the rewards, after the marriage. All of these events will have taken place in glory. And at the revelation, beloved, those of us who've gone up will return with the Lord Jesus in His glory. Now, when the rapture takes place, He comes for His bride. When the revelation takes place, He returns with His bride. When He takes His bride up, the tribulation commences on earth. And when He comes back with His bride, then the tribulation will end and the millennium will commence. We've already suggested the rapture relates to His program for the church. The revelation will be introducing a very important part of His program for Israel and for the nations. We've already noticed, beloved, in a previous study that one of the great truths associated, for our hearts, associated with the rapture is comfort. Wherefore, says the Spirit, through the apostle, as he set before us the grand truth of the coming of a Savior, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words, the message of comfort. The beloved, at the revelation, the message is going to be judgment. Oh yes, all the nations are going to be gathered before Him. My, what a moment that will be. What a moment for the ungodly who spurn Him, who reject Him. Oh, listen, who even passing through the awful judgments of that tribulation, are not softened but hardened. They refuse to repent. But they're going to see Him. Beloved, He's not going to be the meek and the lowly. He's not going to be the man of sorrows. He's not going to be wearing the crown of thorns. Oh, He's going to be the glorious, exalted King of kings and Lord of lords, and every knee shall bow to Him. Now, in connection with the rapture, the translation of the saints, it's a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. Something that hadn't been revealed in the church was a mystery. Ephesians 3. The coming for the church is a mystery, a previously hidden truth. But listen, beloved, it is no mystery that the Lord Jesus is to come and reign in power and glory. This is a truth that was revealed all through the Old Testament scriptures. This is a truth, beloved, that has been fully manifest. Now, when the Lord comes, what happens? The believers are going to be judged. The judgment seat of Christ. Oh, that's going to be a solemn time, is it not? We're going to be examined there. All is known to the one who is the judge. It isn't a matter of condemnation. It's a matter of reward. Oh, He wants to reward us. And if we've done some little thing for Him, even a cup of water, cold water, to one of His own, there will be that reward. But when He comes to earth, beloved, Israel and the nations are going to be judged. You see the difference? When He comes for us, is it going to have any effect on creation? No. Unchanged. But when He comes back at the revelation, beloved, creation will be changed. The lion and the lamb will lie down together. Oh, in that wonderful day of His reign, creation will be regulated and controlled by the man upon the throne. When He comes for us, the Gentile nations as such are unaffected. But when He comes, beloved, as the King, the Gentile nations will be judged. When He comes for us, the covenants with Israel are not affected. Oh no, they'll not be fulfilled. But when He comes with us, then all of the covenant promises made to that nation of millennial blessing in the reign of their great King will indeed be realized and be fulfilled. Again, His coming for us is before the day of wrath, the day of tribulation. Oh, we're absolutely certain of that. God has not appointed us to wrath. Thank God for that. An awful day of wrath is ahead. But for us, beloved, there is no condemnation. I remember a dear old saint. Many, many years ago now, I suppose between 50 and 60, at least that, likely closer to 60. And I can see that dear old man with the tears running down his cheeks as he thanked God there is no condemnation. There is no hell for me. The torment and the flame mine eyes shall never see. But, beloved, when He comes with His church, it will be following with that day of wrath. His coming at the rapture only affects the church. But when He comes as King, it's going to have an effect upon all men. When He comes at the rapture, beloved, the church goes into His presence. when he comes at the revelation, Israel and the nations that are saved will go with him into his kingdom, and we shall reign with him. Now, I've covered this quickly, but I trust that it will give us to see the difference between the day of the Lord on the one hand, Israel, and the program of judgment leading on to that day when he reigns. The day of Jesus Christ has to do with his program for the church, and then our return with him in the day of his glory when he comes back to judge and to reign. And I trust the Lord will just help us as we further consider these things. Because I believe, beloved, only as we see the proper relationship of these, one to Israel, the other to the church, will we be able to rightly divide the word and so to rightly appreciate what we have. In the grace of God and through the work of Christ of blessing, oh, how wonderful. How wonderfully we have been blessed. What a glorious future is before us, all because of Calvary. Now the Lord bless his word. Our time's gone. We'll ask his blessing. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the privilege of spending a little time together tonight in prayer. We thank thee for each petition spread before thee. Spread before thee, Father, in the precious name, the fragrant name of the Lord Jesus. We remember the poet wrote, to all our prayers and praises, Christ adds his sweet perfume, and love the censer raises their odors to consume. We thank thee, Father, that our petitions are presented before the very throne of the God of the universe, the Almighty One. Oh, we thank thee, Father, that thou art such a great God. Thou dost know all about us. We think of dear ones who are suffering and dear ones who are sick and special needs, and oh, Father, that they may just rest confident in thyself, confident in thy love, a love that never changes, confident in thy wisdom, a wisdom that never makes mistakes, confident in thee, a God who's never unkind. Oh, Father, undertake for each of these dear ones, young or older. God bless them, and may they, in their times of trial and difficulty, be able to glorify thy name. We think of dear unsaved ones again, and we thank thee, Lord, for the efforts being put forth. We think of our brother Frank and pray a special blessing on him, our brother Luton, and his ministry on the radio, all such ministries, not only in these islands, but worldwide. We thank thee for the gospel going behind the so-called curtains, the bamboo curtain, the iron curtain. And oh, we thank thee for many dear souls being saved in Russia, China, some of these countries that have been so close. And we pray, Father, oh, that a mighty harvest may be gathered in spite of the enemy, in spite of the awful confusion that exists among the nations. Oh, Father, do save many. Lord, and while in others thou art calling, do not pass us by. Lord, revive us again. Restore us. Give us the joy of thy salvation. And give us a love, Father, for precious souls. Now we commend us to thee. We ask thy blessing upon each dear one here, upon all we represent, as we give thanks again for the Lord Jesus, and ask thy blessing in his precious holy name.